Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, January 15th, 2026. Kind of true. I remember to say 26. Anyway, first story I'm reading is City Plans Transportation Takeover, written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. The saga concerning Christ's rural mass transit services continues, with hints of possible action taking place during the next city council meeting. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. and Danville Mass Transit Director Steve White gave an update on where Christ's Rural Mass Transit stands during the Danville Public Works Committee meeting on Tuesday. Williams made sure to notate that Christ's Healthy Aging and the Transportation Service are two separate entities, placing some blame on the separation as to when the problem started. Unfortunately, since transportation was segregated out, the transportation portion has struggled, Williams said. They've had several different directors, several different finance people, and it's been an ongoing challenge. Williams said Christ's RMT was contracted out to provide paratransit services for those who cannot use traditional busing services to get to medical appointments, like dialysis treatments. Williams added that the city was informed a few years ago of other problems brewing. At one point, they were behind almost 1 year in billing us for our paratransit services, meaning that they hadn't taken any revenue from us, Williams said. It made it difficult for us to do our reporting, too, because we had to pay bills in order to properly report. Williams said during that time, due to population loss in Danville, the state classified the Danville Mass Transit as a rural service, not an urban service. The state of Illinois says that there can only be one rural transportation provider in the county, Williams said. Long story short, it said that Christ's Rural Mass Transit District at that time could only approved 46% of their expenditures, Williams said. Williams told the committee they had made excess expenditures that were not permissible by the grant program, that they could not verify all of their payroll, and that their line of credit had extended from just over $300,000 to over $800,000. So the state was stepping in to override the county to make us the fiscal agent for the upcoming fiscal year. However, following that news, Williams said 2 weeks ago he received news that Christ's RMT District Board voted suddenly and unanimously to completely dissolve their ability to suspend all transportation and to solve their organization. Now that put us in a world of our citizens in a world of hurt. The crew of it is that Williams says the organization provided necessary transportation for the vulnerable in Vermilion County. WorkSource has around 100 clients, according to Williams, and he said around 80 of them were provided transportation through Christ's services. These are adults with developmental disabilities, Williams said. They go there for life skills. They go there for group sessions. They go there for training, for recreation, and for job placement. 80 of their people are without transportation. Williams added they have other partners in need following the loss of services like Community Action and Crosspoint Human Services. However, IDOT is stepping up, Williams said. He had a meeting with IDOT Director David Schaefer. Currently, we are provided with 65% of the funding from transportation from the state, and the rest is from federal and local funds, Williams said. They are willing to move us to up to 80% of funding coming from the state, and then the rest would be from federal and local funds. Williams added that IDOT is willing to transfer the liens on the Christ's vehicles to the city if they can provide transportation. We've had a lot of meetings. We've had a lot of work yet, and we've had a lot of work yet to do, but we're headed in the right directions, Williams said. White added that as long as they get the blessing from the council on Tuesday night, they can begin using the vehicles. There are two vans and five of the medium-duty buses, the little smaller buses that Chris had, White said. The state actually gave us permission to go over and get those so we could start servicing them, making sure they they're up to our standards. White added that some of the buses are not worth saving. There are 6 vehicles over there that are beyond their use of life, White said. They're just not worth fixing. The state is going to sign those over to us, and then we get the money from scrapping them. Schaefer will be present at Tuesday's council meeting to answer any questions. Any details you need about what our organization will look like, or, you know, the direction we're going, he will be more than happy to answer those, White said of the intentions of having the director present. And Williams is very optimistic about the future of rural transportation services. The state assured us that funding would come to us, Williams said. So my hope and my prayer is that within the next year or so, we'll be able to come to you with updated designs to have a new facility or a very updated facility, so we can make sure we meet the needs not only of Danville citizens but all of Vermilion County. Next story is titled New Addition. Luttrell joins Vermilion County Board, and this again is written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. The Vermilion County Board welcomed a new member Tuesday evening. Eric Luttrell was sworn in to represent District 2 in Vermilion County. He fills the seat held by Kevin Green. Board members called in a vacancy for Green's spot in December. Green served on the board for 21 years. The chairman of the Republican Party said they had met and made the recommendation to have Luttrell fill the spot. I have a notice from the Republican Party chairman that the district representatives of District 2 have made a recommendation, County Board Chairman Steve Miller said prior to the swearing in. Congratulations to Eric Luttrell on it being appointed to the Vermilion County Board for District 2, the Vermilion County Republicans shared on Facebook following the county board meeting. Thank you for your commitment to serving our community, our county. As I told Eric before the meeting, he has been very active in the Veterans Commission, Miller said. He may have won the award for the most service to the board meetings, and we do appreciate him being on the board. And there's a picture of Vermilion County Board member Eric Luttrell is sworn in on Tuesday evening, replacing Kevin Green's seat in District 2. Next story is titled Democrats Vie for Miller's Congressional Position in Illinois, again by Rick Christie Jankowski in Danville. Two of the Democratic candidates hoping to take a Republican-held congressional seat laid out their plans of action Monday in Danville. Democrat candidates Jennifer Todd and Randy Raley are both running against each other in the primary to secure a spot on the ballot to challenge current 15th District Representative Mary Miller, a Republican. In total, there are 4 Democratic candidates running for the seat: Todd, Raley, Paul Davis, and Kyle Nudo. During the Vermilion County Democratic Party monthly meeting, both Todd and Rayleigh expressed their viewpoint with Zoom participation as well as in person. A few community members spoke out during the question and answer session with the candidates. Connie Ostrander, appearing by Zoom, voiced her concerns about Miller's response to constituents' questions. This lady doesn't give anybody the time of day, and when I see her on TV, she looks like she's just trying to be a Barbie doll or something, Ostrander said. She really needs to be for us, and I haven't seen that out of her at all, especially when it comes to our farmers. That is one of the reasons why I am running, is to be able to do that change and bring things back to the district how it's supposed to be, Todd said. My big thing is, you know what? I'm for this district. I'm representing this district. This district comes first, commented that they had been able to place calls to Miller's office, as she called them daily to request Miller to join Robin Kelly's office in impeaching Kristi Noem. Rayleigh's talking points were similar to Todd's in what is needed for the 15th district. Rayleigh implied Miller has not, in his opinion, been there for the community following job losses like the recent Hyster-Yale move. Did she even show up to the district in the district and say like, find out what's going on, what's behind this? Rayleigh questioned. Mary Miller is a coward. There's nothing other than that. She's looks out for her interests. She looks out for her rich friend's interests. Billard did not send out any statements or post anything on her Facebook regarding the departure of Heister Yale from Danville, which took around 200 jobs. Rayleigh is also a supporter of the LGBTQ and plus community, while Miller has been a staunch proponent. I have 5 grandchildren absolutely terrified about their future, Rayleigh said. I get a couple of my grandkids that identify with the LGBTQ plus community. Rayleigh closed by stating there will be a protest with his campaign at an upcoming event for Miller's campaign at Yoder's Kitchen in Arthur on February 4th. Both Rayleigh and Todd shared ways that they want to challenge the way the Veterans Affairs is run. If you have an honorable discharge, you should automatically be in the VA, Todd said. You shouldn't have to give 10 years worth of bank statements and different things to be able to get services from the VA, and that's one of the things that I want to change. Rayleigh said of his plan, if doctors come out of medical school and they're in debt, put them in work for the VA and pay off their loan. He continued with, you doctors sign a contract to come to Danville for 3.5 years or 4 years. At the end of your 4 years, your school loans are paid off. Rayleigh reasoned that doing this would bring talented people to rural America. The primary election is March 17th, and early voting starting on February 4th. And there's a picture of Randy Rayleigh and Jennifer Todd in there. We'll run through the obituaries. Iris Martin, 93, of Catlin, passed away at 4:10 p.m. on January 12th at Hawthorne Inn in Danville, Illinois. Visitation will be held on Tuesday, January 20th from 10 to 11 a.m. at the Catlin United Methodist Church at 106 West Vermilion Street in Catlin, Illinois. A celebration of life will follow at 11 a.m. Pastor Trevor Oding will officiate. Burial will be in Oak Ridge Cemetery in Catlin. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street is assisting the family with arrangements. Memorial contributions may be made in Iris's memory to the Catlin Historical Society or the Catlin United Methodist Church. And Ronald Ron Lloyd McGaha, 83, of Covington, passed away on January 12th at the Veterans Home in Danville. A visitation will be held on January 17th at the First Baptist Church in Covington from 12 to 2 p.m. EST time, with a funeral service to follow at 2 p.m. Pastor Andy Kirkle Road will be officiating. Okay, the next story is titled Pre-Apprenticeship Program Celebrates 7th Graduation, written by a staff reporter in Danville, and there's a picture of the 7th cohort of the Illinois Works Pre-Apprenticeship Program graduate on December 12th at the Bremer Theater on the campus of Danville Area Community College. Danville Area Community College, known as DACC, celebrated the graduation of the seventh cohort of the Illinois Works Pre-Apprenticeship Program on December 12th in the Bremer Theater. A total of 23 students graduated from the program, which began at the start of the fall semester and ran for 16 weeks, with classes held Monday through Thursday for 3 hours each day. These students earned $14.50 an hour while attending school. The Illinois Works Pre-Apprenticeship Program, offered in partnership with DACC, prepares participants for registered apprenticeships in high-demand trades such as carpentry, plumbing, and construction. Students earn valuable trade experiences and certifications while completing 19 college credit hours toward a traditional degree. Graduates have the opportunity to continue their education at DACC or enter the workforce immediately. The program is funded by the Illinois Works Pre-Apprenticeship Grant from the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunities, known as IDCEO. Over the past 3 years, DACC has received more than $1.4 million to support the program and recently was awarded $550,000 for another year. The program will be accepting applications for limited seats in its ninth cohort beginning in mid to late February. The eighth cohort got underway January 12th. Our graduates are walking into real opportunities right here in the region, said Professor Doug Hunter, Illinois Works Program Coordinator. Local employers are actively seeking skilled workers in the trades, and these students now have the credentials, experience, and confidence to meet that demand. The Illinois Works program is helping to build a pipeline of talent that strengthens our local workforce and supports economic growth. For more information about the program, contact Doug Hunter at d.hunter@dacc.edu or Natasha Pounds at n.Marangoli, it's Merangoli at dacc.edu, or call 217-443-8882. Next story, Bismarck Lions celebrate club's anniversary with pancakes and sausage. And there are two pictures here. One of Bismarck Lions members Rick Moss, Scott Moore, and Butch Brown serve up some pancakes at last year's Pancakes and Sausage Day at the Bismarck Canning Elementary School. And then Charles Mockby IV and Tom Lessig take a break from cooking pancakes and sausages at last year's event. The Bismarck Lions Club will serve pancakes and sausage at Bismarck Canning Elementary School from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, February 7th, as part of their annual Pancake and Sausage Day. Tickets may be purchased for $12, with kids 6 to 12 being $5, and those 5 and under are free. Sponsor packs of 10 tickets are available ahead of time for $90. Tickets are available from any Bismarck Lions Club member or can be purchased at the door. Advance meet orders may be made by calling 217-497-3209. Takeout will be available. Funds donated will be used to help meet needs of the community. Bismarck Lions Club President John Bodensteiner said, "This is a community event where people come together to visit and support each other," said Bismarck Lions Club Presidential John Bodensteiner in the office official release. "It's fun to see people enjoying a great meal while catching up with each other's lives. Through their support of our club, we are able to support our community with our projects for them. The Women's Club of Bismarck will be right inside the school door selling treats. The Bismarck Lions Club conducts vision screenings on preschool students, most recently on November 25th at Bismarck Canning Elementary School. KidSight, a Lions Club community service program, provides a simple and non-invasive vision screening test. The club recently purchased their own Plusoptix vision screening machine. At no cost to the students, the testing screens for several conditions, including lazy eye. Please contact any Bismarck Lion if your group would like a vision screening. The club will accept donations of glasses and hearing aids. From the inception, Lions International has been a champion in helping combat vision impairment and blindness. The Bismarck Lions Club meets the first and third Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Lions Clubs are a group of men and women who identify needs within the community and work together to fulfill those needs. Chartered in 1956, the Bismarck Lions Club celebrates 70 years of service in 2026. For more information or to get involved with the Bismarck Lions Club, please contact www.facebook.com. Bismarck Lions. Sorry about that. Next, MLK celebration set for January 19th. The Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration Committee is pleased to announce that the community-wide service for the 2026 MLK celebration will be held at 11:30 a.m. on Monday, January 19th at St. James United Methodist Church at 504 North Vermillion Street in Danville. The theme for the 2026 MLK celebration is Equals in Humanity. The event is open to the public. The Reverend Dr. Dwight Ford will serve as the speaker for the service. Reverend Ford is currently the president and CEO of Project Now, which is a community action agency that serves low-income families and seniors in Rock Island, Henry, and Mercer counties. Also, he is the founder and pastor of Grace City Church of in Rock Island. The service will also include the presentation of the $6,000 MLK scholarship to a Danville graduating high school senior who plans to pursue an education at an institution of higher learning. Well, slow news day, so we'll do some sports today. How about the Bears? Williams turn attention to Rams, and this is written by the Associated Press in Lake Forest. Down by 11 and facing a 4th-and-8 in their own territory late in last week's wild card game, the Chicago Bears needed a big play from Caleb Williams. He had a Michael Jordan moment. Williams' spectacular throw to Romy Odunze kept a touchdown drive going and helped the Bears rally to beat the Green Bay Packers 31-27 after trailing by 18 on Saturday night. Now, after winning a playoff game for the first time in 15 years, Chicago faces another big challenge. The Bears host Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams in the divisional round on Sunday, but while they shifted their focus to the next task, Williams' incredible pass to Odunze in a big spot was still getting plenty of attention. It was just a good moment and ending up giving Rome the right football to be able to allow him to make the adjustments, Williams said on Wednesday. Trailing 27-16, the Bears 12-6 had a 4th-and-8 at their 43 with 5 minutes and 37 seconds remaining in the game. Williams took the shotgun snap and rolled it to his left when the pocket collapsed. He leaped as a defender lunged at his legs and delivered a perfect throw to Odunze in traffic for a 27-yard gain. The NFL memes account had fun on X plus plugging in the Chicago Bulls intro music and superimposing the famous Jumpman logo over Williams. It was just about perfect and almost eerie match. I've had a couple passes that going left where I've ended up being in the air in that way a few times in times, college and things that like that and high school, Williams said. I'm kind of used to it. Chicago isn't used to being in the spotlight. This. The Bears hadn't advanced in the playoffs since the 2010 team beat Seattle in the divisional round. Chicago then got knocked off by the Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in the NFC Championship game and made quick exits in its only two postseason appearances since, with the 2018 and 2020 teams losing wild card games. But the Bears envisioned moments like this when they drafted Williams with the number one pick in 2024 and hired coach Ben Johnson off Detroit's staff a year ago. Chicago captured the NFC Championship and finished with a winning record for the first time since 2018. Team won the division. When Williams got more and more comfortable in Johnson's system and threw for a franchise record 3,942 yards during the regular season. He then passed his first playoff test, setting a club mark by passing for 361 yards while leading the big comeback. Now, after knocking off the rival Packers, the Bears host Stafford and the Rams. Williams only briefly met Stafford when two teams played at Soldier Pro Bowler in depth. In something his coach wanted him to do, Johnson was an assistant in Detroit during Stafford's final few seasons there and saw up close his elite footwork and vision. When you talk about the footwork, I think it starts with him, Johnson said. But then as you talk about an experienced player that sees the field really well, he understands defenses. He knows how to manipulate defenses. He's got a great feel for the game, and that translates to everything that he does every single week. Williams and Stafford don't exactly have similar styles, but there are things he can learn from the All-Pro. His feet are always under him, Williams said. He can make any throw at any time. The guys in his face, linemen may be getting pushed back, not looking, all these different things, and it comes down to his feet. He ties the roots with his receivers, the timing, all of that, with his feet. Obviously, he has a cannon. And there are a couple pictures of, let me see here. There's a picture of Chicago Bears' Caleb Williams celebrates after an NFL wildcard playoff football game against the Green Bay Packers. It was a good game. Okay, we'll run through the community briefs. Museum hosts new exhibit. The Vermilion County Museum Society, located at 116 North Gilbert Street in Danville, is hosting a new exhibit, Journey to Freedom, Illinois Underground Railroad, from January 15th through March 28th. The exhibit shares stories of freedom speakers, conductors, and communities that were part of the Illinois Underground Railroad. This exhibit is sponsored by the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area, also known as Looking for Lincoln. The grand opening of the exhibit will be at the museum on Thursday, January 15th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Heather Freezer from Looking for Lincoln will share some background on the individuals highlighted in the exhibit and how the exhibit came to be. To accompany the Journey to Freedom exhibit, the Museum Society is mounting a small exhibit highlighting aspects of African American history in Vermilion County. This is a free event, and there is extra parking in the Carl lot adjacent to our building. Light refreshments will be served. For additional information, call the museum at 217-442-2922 during regular business hours Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And school trustees hold executive meeting. The Southeast Fountain School Corporation School Board of Trustees will hold an executive meeting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, January 15th at Southeast Fountain Elementary School, located at 744 East U.S. Highway 136 in Vetersburg. The regular January board meeting will follow at 7 p.m. at the same location. O'Kane to speak at Lions Club. Dancy O'Kane from St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank will speak to the Danville Lions Club at noon on Thursday. The meeting will be held at Spanky's Banquet Hall, located at 409 East Main Street in Danville. Step Up meeting set up for Friday. The community is invited to attend the January Step Up Vermilion County meeting at 8 a.m. on Friday, January 16th. The event will be held at Second Church of Christ, located at 3350 East Voorhees in Danville. This month's meeting will include information on the area's work related to Heister Yell's announcement, an update in the arena's rapid response to the closure of Chris Rural Transit, and plans to celebrate Vermilion County's 200th anniversary. There will also be discussion sessions on substance use disorder, mental health, and family and parenting. Step Up Vermilion County brings the community together to identify and address current challenges facing the county. Together, we have driven growth and development, creating positive outcomes across the economic, educational, social, and spiritual aspects of our community. Together, we are transforming lives. Our goal is to rally, resource, and relate. Okay, the lottery for today, yesterday. Illinois Lottery on Wednesday, pick 3, midday, 239, pick 4, 5139. Lucky day is 2, 10, 12, 30, and 33, and the lotto jackpot is $11 million. And in Indiana, daily 3, midday is 026, daily 4, midday is 7968. Lotto jackpot is $11 million, and the Powerball jackpot is $156 million, and the Mega Millions is $230 million. That would be really, really nice, wouldn't it? So that'll be it for today, Thursday, January 15th, 2026. It's going to be freezing this weekend, so make sure you get your coats on and stay in. There's going to be a little snow, nothing major or anything they say, but a lot of wind and down to the negative, or, you know, 1 degree or whatever. So anyway, make sure you wear your gloves and hats and dress warmly. I hope I get to see you again next week, and you have a good week. Take care. Bye.